The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says twice, "Asei lecha rav." You should have for yourself a rabbi. Now, the first time it appears in the first parak, that's talking about something else. That's talking about like a rebbe that you learn with, a mora that teaches you Torah in the classroom. That's one thing. But a few mishnayos later, the Mishnah says again, "Asei lecha rav v'histalik min hasafik." You should have for yourself a teacher, a rabbi, and remove yourself from doubt. And the Mefarshim and the Mishnah have a lot to say about what that means, to have a rabbi and to remove yourself from doubt. But just as a quick introduction, the Hasidus of Alexander was one of the largest groups of Hasidus before World War II. Rahman al-Islam, unfortunately, it was nearly wiped out in the Holocaust. That's why we don't hear of Alexander Hasidim anymore. But before the Holocaust, Alexander Hasidus was a major, major player in Europe. They had camps and courts and communities all over Europe. And the Rebbe of Alexander was Rav Chanuch Henech. And he had very interesting ideas on what it meant to be a chassid and a rebbe. So he made the following brilliant point. In the beginning of Avraham's endeavors, when he comes onto the scene, the first thing we are told about are Es HaNefesh Asher Asu B'Charan. The nefashos, the people that he made in Haran. So Rashi says, what does that mean? Es hanefesh asher asu b'Haran. So Rashi tells us what? That it's referring to Kirov. Avram was the first Kirov on-campus rabbi, right? Avram was Megayras HaNashim, and Sarah was Megayras HaSanashim, that she dealt with the women, and Avram dealt with the men. And he had all these people saying brachos, and davening, and putting on tefillin by the kotel. He was everywhere. Avram was doing Kirov all over Eretz Yisrael. Amazing. He should have had shuls packed by Yom Kippur, beginner services, the whole thing. Amazing. But, and we continue through the Torah, we hear absolutely nothing about Es HaNefesh Asher Asu B'Charan. What happened to all those people? That's the main beginning of Avram's journey. It's the main highlight. Avram did Kirov. And what happened to all those people? What happened to all those people who came to Avram's tent, who came to Avram's tree and sat by the Eshel, and he served them, he talked about Hashem? Where did they all go? We don't have anybody wandering around India or wandering around Ethiopia saying, I'm not Jewish, but you know, those people that Avram taught about Hashem, like I descend from those people. Where did those people go? It's a very solid question. We make such a big deal about it, but what happened to all that Kirov work with those people? So the Rebbe of Alexander said as follows. He said, those people who davened in Avram Avinu's Beis Medrash, they liked Avram Avinu, they liked his style. He was kulo chesed, he had Karl Bach Minyan Friday night, and they sang and they danced, and he was kind to everyone, never a harsh word, never any musr, open, accepting. He was a great Kirov rabbi, and he brought all these people in. And they were so enthralled with Avram Avinu as the Rebbe. And what happened? Eventually Avram passed away. He reached the age where he was no longer needed in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took his neshama. And then onto the scene comes the successor, which was Yitzchak. Now we have Yitzchak Rabbeinu, our new Rebbe Yitzchak. And Yitzchak is very different than his father. He's not like him at all as a rabbi. There's not so much more singing. He's very serious. Kulo Yira Shemayim, very intense. He gives Musar. They never heard this before. He gives Musar. He tells them what to work on. Midas Hadin. He's very strict, very exacting, demanding of them. He wants more of them. He wants them to work harder, stronger, further, pushing and pushing. And their heads are going crazy. They said, this is not what we signed up for. We liked the father who was the Rebbe. We liked the Rebbe who was warm, and he was always dancing, and he never had anything negative to say. Yitzchak is very different. There's a lot of good qualities about him, but this is not what we wanted. And slowly but surely, over time, this one stopped coming to the here there. This one stopped showing up at Yitzchak. And know what they said? Oh, we got everything from Avram Avinu. We're good. Everything I need to know as a Jew, I got from Avram Avinu. He taught me everything. I don't need a Rebbe anymore. I don't like this Yitzchak, this Rabbi Yitzchak. He's not for me. I had, you know, my teacher in high school. I had my teacher in seminary, and I connected with them. But I got what I needed. There's no reason to go back to have a Torah mentor anymore. We're good. I don't like the new rabbi. I'm fine by myself. Let's start a breakaway minyan. And that's what happened. They left the Beis Medrash of Yitzchak Avinu, and they went out on their own. And what happened after they left the Beis Medrash and they had no more rabbi, no one to ask their shilas to, no one else to turn to, so they started to drift away. They had no one to keep them connected. They had no one to turn to and add a question. They said, I don't know, should I go to this place? Should I eat in this restaurant? Whatever. There's Hebrew writing on the wall, so I'm sure it's fine. It's a good place to eat. And they stopped asking questions, and they stopped asking shilas, and eventually, Es HaNefesh Asher Asu B'Charan was no more. They drifted away because they had no more connection to a Rebbe. They had no more connection to a teacher who could guide them in the avoda of Avas Hashem and Yerushalayim. And therefore, without a Seil HaRav, for anyone at any stage in life, whether you are in your late teens, early 20s, and you have a lot ahead of you, or whether you are in your 60s or 70s or 80s, everyone needs to have a Rebbe. Everyone needs to have someone to turn to for advice, for halachic guidance in some area. Because if not, we don't want to end up like Es HaNefesh Asher Asu B'Charan. Those people who had no one to turn to and eventually left all that amazing work that Avraham Avinu did. So after leaving seminary, high school, yeshiva, so some people often think that there's no one like that Rebbe, that Mora, that Mechanecha, that person I had a kesher with, that's the best, and no one's like them. And therefore, you know, I'm not going to go and look for another person to turn to as I mature and grow. The person thinks that I'll be fine, but the mistake with that, of not looking for a person to turn to as you develop and grow into a new person, is that the high school Mora Rebbe is fine for when you're at that stage. And then when you're in seminary, that person is good for that stage in life. But as you become more mature and you do more things and you marry and you start families, it's important to have someone who is experienced with those types of issues, of those types of dilemmas that come up. It's not wise to go back to the seminary teacher who's not maybe familiar with issues related to end-of-life issues, taras ha-mishpacha, things that are more complicated than they were before, to go back to the same person. It's good to find someone who has experience with communities, with shuls, because the needs, as you develop looking for a Rebbe and a guide, are different now. And therefore, it's important to look for a person who fits that qualification. So what's the criteria to look for when looking for a shul, God willing, a rabbi, God willing? So let's go through a number of points. These points are mostly based on ideas that I heard myself from my Rebbe, Rabbi Schechter, who even every rabbi needs a rabbi. And it's good to learn from that person as well. And therefore, these are things that I heard him say over time that are important to look for when searching for a rabbi. The first point is interesting shot of the Medrash Shmuel, not Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Medrash Shmuel says, "Asei lecha rav hisalak min hasafek." Don't choose a rabbi if you have a suffek, if you have a doubt if he's a Talmud Chacham or not. If you walk into the shul and you don't think that this person is knowledgeable, you're not going to respect him as an individual you can turn to, then don't choose that person as a rabbi. It may be that he gives nice drushos. It may be that has other great qualifications. But if you can't respect him as a knowledgeable person, then perhaps that's not the right person for you. If you feel or get a sense that he isn't knowledgeable, then maybe you shouldn't be trusted in those areas. It doesn't mean he's foolish, but it means perhaps you don't respect him in his knowledge. Now, does that mean that the rabbi of the Shul Yudavan has to be the Gadol Hador? He needs to be an expert in every single area of halacha? So no, that's not the case. We see the first time in the Torah that there are levels of Rabbanim from Parshas Yisro. Yitzhar goes to Moshe and says, you're working too hard. You can't answer everything by yourself. And he says, I have an advice for you. What's his advice? You should find people who are strong, Yiras Hashem, Anshei Emes, people who are truthful, Sarei Betza. V'samta aleim, you should make Sarei Alafim, Sarei Meos, Sarei Chamishim, V'Sarei Asaros. Officers of 1,000, tens, fifties, hundreds. Different levels. That lower level questions go to this larger number of rabbis. Higher level questions go to this more select group of rabbis. Even harder questions go to an even more select group of rabbis. Until only the most difficult questions go to who? Moshe. To Moshe Rabbeinu. Until Moshe Rabbeinu gets the most difficult questions. So what do we see from this setup that Yisro taught and Moshe accepted and HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to is that there's different levels of rabbis. And not every rabbi is necessarily created equal and has the same standing in that regard. Your local Orthodox rabbi, your shul, may be equipped to deal with the basic Hilchos Shabbos issue, Hilchos Brachos, Taras Mishpacha, the simple questions that a rabbi who's well-trained should be familiar with. But maybe there's a question that's more complicated, an end-of-life issue. What do we do in such a situation? A complicated issue in issues of pregnancy and things like that. What do we do in such an issue? Maybe he's not as familiar in that area. And therefore, there may be someone who is more knowledgeable, higher up on the food chain, so to speak, who is an area, who's an expert in that area that you might want to turn to. And then there are more even pressing issues that maybe that rabbi says, you know, this is out of my area. And then on top of that, even more difficult issues that are questions that are so complicated and so bearing of weight that it needs only the select few people who can deal with such issues. Now, that doesn't mean, now if that's the case, your rabbi should only be the person at the top of the chain. Moshe didn't say, I'm going to answer all the shilas, whatever I say, that's it. The people on the bottom, or the local Orthodox rabbi, so to speak, is entitled to his opinion in an area that he's allowed to decide. If the local rabbi begins deciding questions of agunos and all types of complicated issues of marriage and divorce, and he's not trained or not qualified to answer those types of questions, then maybe he's overstepping his bound. And if that's the case, then maybe the second issue we'll discuss is the rabbi too haughty, thinking that he knows more than he does. But in its own, it's important to realize that there are different levels, and that your rabbi doesn't have to be the Gadol Hador, but he should be knowledgeable in the areas that he is supposed to be knowledgeable in. At the same time, on the flip side as well, that your rabbi has the right to give a psak in areas that he's qualified to give in. I'll give you a quick example. A few years ago, they liked to put on the yeshiva websites before Yom Kippur, they would say that Rav Yashiv said that Crocs are usser. You can't wear Crocs on Yom Kippur, they're no good. Now, wearing Crocs on Yom Kippur, is that a life or death issue? Is this something that it could create mamzerim in Klal Yisrael? Something that, you know, could be very, very complicated? No, it's a very straightforward, somewhat simple issue dealing with wearing shoes on Yom Kippur. So, if Rav Yashiv said that you can't wear Crocs on Yom Kippur, does that mean that the rabbi of your shul is not entitled to say that I think you can't wear Crocs on Yom Kippur? Of course he is. He's entitled to his opinion. Even though the Gadol Hador says A, if it's a question that your local Orthodox rabbi is entitled to answer, then he's allowed to give his opinion. As we saw from Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Rabbanim on the lower end of the scale, the basic questions, they're allowed to give an answer. They don't have to go to Moshe Rabbeinu to ask a shaila. They're allowed to give their opinion. And therefore, it's important to know on both ends. One, that your local Orthodox rabbi is entitled to his opinion in the areas he's entitled to have an opinion in. And at the same time, there are different levels that may go beyond the what your rabbi is able to answer. Second point. The Gemara says that we follow Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai. Why is that? So the Gemara says because Beis Hillel is the majority over Beis Shammai, right? Acher Rav Lahadus, we follow the majority over the minority. The Gemara then says, why was Beis Hillel Zocha? Why did they merit to become the majority? So the Gemara says, because Hillel was more humble than Beis Shammai. Hillel always put Shammai's opinion first. They always had respect and they had more humility. So we see from here that a midah that's important for a rabbi is to be humble, to have a sense of humility, to have a sense, as we said before, that even your rabbi should have a rabbi to second guess and to question if issues come up. If you don't respect the rabbi as a person, you shouldn't learn from him. The Gemara Moed Katan says, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mai Dechsiv, Ki Sif Se Kohen Yishmeru Das V'Tori Yivakshu Mipiyu, Ki Malach Hashem Svakosu, Hu Doma. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says, that the person you learn Torah from should be Doma, L'Malach Hashem Svakosu, should be like a Malach. So the Gemara says, Doma harav l'malach Hashem, yivakshu Torah mipiv. If he's like an angel, you should learn from him. Ki malach vim lav, al yivakshu Torah mipiv. If not, then don't learn from him. Now, obviously, a malach Hashem is a high standard to live up to. But it means to what? Someone you respect. If you don't look up to the person and respect them, you should not be turning to them for issues that come up in halacha. The next thing, the rabbi should be patient. If you find that the rabbi is not patient, if he spits out an answer even before you get it out, and he hangs up the phone, that he's too busy to give you the time when you have an issue, and he's running to the next thing, then perhaps this is also not the right thing as well. He should hear you to the end. When he's talking with you, he should sound or appear as if he has all the time in the world to pay attention to what's going on, not going to the next thing. Patience is very, very important. If he's not patient, then it could be a problem as well. Another point is that the rabbi and the rebbetz are not only there for halacha, but they're also there for hadracha with issues that come up in issues of amunah and things like that. The Knesset Yisrael is a parish in Pirkei Avos. So in our Mishnah that we're discussing, so he cites the following story that he heard. He says that the Noz of Yehuda was once talking with Rav Pinchas HaLevi Horowitz, the author of the Hafla. And the Hafla was the rabbi of Frankfurt. He was also a chassid. He had learned Torah by the Maggid of Mezrich. So the Noz of Yehuda, who is by far not a chassid, turned to the Hafla and said, "What do you waste your time for? Going to the Rebbe, Spittel Torah, sit, open a Daf Gemara. What are you doing going to the Maggid of Mezrich, spending all this time traveling back and forth? Time better spent sitting with a sefer, learning Torah." So the Hafla turned to his partner, the Noz of Yehuda, and he said that, look at our Mishnah. The answer is, Aseh Lecha Rav, V'histalik Min HaSafik. What does histalik min hasafik mean? You should have a rabbi who will remove sfeikos, doubts, in issues of emunah. The rabbi should be a person who gives hadracha, who allows you to focus on serving Hashem. If you have a question about, you know, why does this happen, or why is this fair, or I understand this halacha, this mitzvah, things like that, should be a person who guides you in machshava, in hashkafa, as well. Histalik min hasafik, not just in halacha, but also in being a good person and being a Jew. There are various hashkafos all around the world, as we know. All different types of perspectives, shivim panim l'Torah. The rabbi that you choose to answer your shilas should be a person who respects your Torah hashkafa. Now, if your Torah hashkafa is, I like eating out, and I think pork is great, that's not a Torah hashkafa. A Torah hashkafa means a view that is bound within halacha, and a different perspective. Whether the person says Hal Yom HaAtzmaut, doesn't say Hal Yom HaAtzmaut, with a bracha, without a bracha, what type of schools, things like that. The rabbi that you ask your shilas to should be on par with your hashkafa. If he is not, if he does not agree with important issues of machshava that you hold to be important, that doesn't mean he's not a good person. What it means, though, is that maybe you're not in the same plane as him, and maybe he's not the person you should be turning to. I'll give you an example. In addition to the Sanhedrin HaGadol, the main Sanhedrin that had 70 people in it, so each Shevet had their own mini Sanhedrin. Dan had a Sanhedrin, Yisachar had a Sanhedrin, Zvulun had a Sanhedrin, in addition to the main one. So the Ramban on the Torah asks, why? Why is it necessary? I have a Sanhedrin Yerushalayim. Why does each Shevet need their own type of Beis Din? So the Ramban says, this is the pasuk, Shoftim v'shotrim tintin lecha b'chol sharecha. Each shar, each gate needs its own one. So the Baal HaTanya explains that Yitzchak asked Esav to go hunt and bring matamim, something delicious, in order to get the bracha. So the Zohar asks, why did he need matamim? Why don't we all ask, why do we need matamim? Why do we need this special thing? So the Zohar says, because people like variety. If you want something good, people like different things. Yitzchak wanted matamim. He wanted something nice to make it more enjoyable and more pleasurable. So the basin of the Shvatim reflected the different worldviews of the Shvatim. They follow the Torah, Midosh HaTorah, and the Jesus Bahem, but each Talmud Chacham has a different perspective in the world. Each Talmud Chacham has a different view of what's going on in the world. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim. But when you pick a rabbi, it should be a rabbi that you ask your personal shailos to, who fits with your hashkafa, who fits with the way you view the world. If you have a, again, this is just an easy one to pick on, if you have a pro-Zionist view of the world, so then you should have a rabbi who fits that view. Because you're going to see that the rabbi is going to say things that don't necessarily fit the Torah view that you ascribe to
as well. The Ritva on Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim says that Ish HaMechacham has a different perspective on the same thing, the Torah. The Gemara in Taina says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will have a circle at the end of the day, and all the Talmidim will point to the center, dancing around Hashem. And Rabbi Akiva points out that all the points in a circle are equidistant to the center. And all the tzaddikim view Hashem in the right perspective, but each one has a different view, and therefore the people we turn to should match the view that we ascribe to as well. The Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that if a man has a sick person in his house, if a person has somebody sick in the home, he should ask a chacham to pray for him. This is the idea, to go to a Talmud chacham to daven for someone who is sick. So this is based on the pasuk in Mishlei, that a wise man can help a Kadosh Baruch Hu out when things are difficult. And the Gemara says, Darush Rabbi Pinchas Bar Chama Kol Sheyesh L'chol B'soch Beiso Yelech Eitzel Chacham. You should go to a Chacham and ask him to daven for you. And this is all cited in the Halacha by the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch in Yerdei Shin Laman Aleph. But listen to what the Ramah says. The Ramah says, Yesh Omrim Shemi Sheyesh L'chol B'veiso Yelech Eitzel Chacham Shebi'ir. He doesn't say go to a Chacham, the Ramah says, like the against the Gemara. He says you should go to Chacham Shebi'ir. Why does the Ramah change what the Gemara says? The Gemara says if somebody is sick, you should go to the Talmud Chacham. The Ramah says if somebody is sick, you should go to the Chacham in your city. So the Sheva HaLevi, Rav Osner, explains as follows. He says, if you're sick, you go to the Chacham to learn how to daven so you can be Mevakesh Rachamim for yourself. You should make sure you daven for yourself. The Pasuk in Mishlei means that the Chacham will teach you how to have Kapara so you can unlock the Shari Tefillah. Therefore, the Sheva Levi says, it's not so Pashut when a person has Tzaros, when a person is struggling, you need someone to go to, you need someone to talk to. It's not so simple to simply go to anyone and not daven for yourself. The first thing, says Rav Osner, is to daven for yourself. And explaining the idea of Chacham Shebi'iro, he explains as follows. Why does the Ramah say to go to the rabbi of your city? Because the rabbi of your city, the rabbi that you daven with in the same shul, the rabbi you turn to and you have shilas, knows you better than anybody else, even the Gadol Hador. And therefore the Ramah changes the Gemara. The Gemara says go daven by any Talmud Chacham. The Ramah says no. Go to the rabbi in your city, the rabbi you daven with, because he can connect to you. He can relate to you. He has a kesher to your neshama, and his davening to you, who knows your husband and your kids and knows what's going on in your background, that davening of Chacham Shebi'iro in your city is much more powerful than any other Talmud Chacham. So says Rav Vosner. So, we have different issues. Nowadays, for example, we have halacha hotlines in different communities. You call up anonymously, ask any shaila. There's certainly a place for that. But does the person on the other end of the line know you, know your family, know your background, know the story with your parents, the complicated issue you have with your sister, all these other things that are going on? It's important to turn to a person who's not anonymous on the other end of the phone, but rather a person that you can relate to. Certainly, turning to the rabbi, not Googling an answer, not searching somewhere else for an answer. The person who can relate to you is important when it comes to finding a rabbi. Over Shavuos, I saw an article in Hamodia written by a columnist named Mordechai Schmutter. So he writes in his column as follows. He says, I spoke to a friend of mine who said that where he lives, there's a halacha hotline that people can call. And the idea of the hotline is great because their hours are better than any one rabbi. On the other hand, you're basically anonymous. And some anonymous shilas are fine. But I can't very well ask them, where do I send my son to high school for next year? There are things that are more complicated that require knowing who you are. He understands your history, your family situation, your mentality. So with this, Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, in his Likutim, raises the following question. So when we learn Gemara, very often the Gemara will say, if they don't know the answer, teku. We don't know the answer, it stands as it is. So we have a tradition that teku stands for Tishbi Taritz Kushus V'Abayos. That Tishbi, Eliyahu HaTishbi, will come and answer up our questions. So Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev asks, why is Eliyahu HaNavi answering our questions? What about Moshe Rabbeinu? What about Rabbi Yudah HaNasi? They're going to come back too by Tzchias HaMesim. So why are we waiting for Eliyahu HaNavi to answer our questions? There are much, much bigger Talmidei Chachamim who can answer the shailas we have after Mashiach comes. So listen to what he says. He says that we see that even though there's a concept of Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, we still follow Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai because of the compassion and the Midas HaChesed of Beis Hillel. Chazal saw that in times of galus, we require softness, kindness, a softer hand in order to connect to Hashem. The Maseches Derech Eretz says, a number of people who entered Gan Eden alive, and one of them was Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi is still alive to this day. And therefore says Rabbi Yitzchak of Berdichev, why is Eliyahu HaNavi answering our shailas when Mashiach comes? Because Eliyahu HaNavi has been with us throughout galus for the last 3,000 years. He's been with us, seen everything. He knows what's going on with your parents. He knows what's going on with your siblings. He knows how difficult it is in school. He knows the issue with Shidduchim. Eliyahu HaNavi is the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael in every single generation. And therefore, because he knows us, says the Kedushas Levi, therefore Eliyahu HaNavi is going to be the one to answer our questions when we need them at the end of the day. Because he can relate to us. He knows all about us. He was at the bris, and the next bris, and the next bris, and the bris after that, and he can relate to every single one of us, and therefore it makes sense, even though there are other Talmidei Chachamim, and maybe easier ways, and Google, and things like that, still Eliyahu HaNavi is the one who's going to come and answer the questions, because he knows you, he can relate to you, and he understands your background, and your struggles. A few more points, just to wrap up here at the end. It's important as well for the rabbi of the community to integrate the people who live in the vicinity and to make them part of the community. You want to look for a community that's going to make you involved. You're going to feel part of what's going on. You're going to get involved and have friends, and the rabbi is going to be a central point to turn to get you to be part of that community. One more point, and this just is about Mekubalim and searching out Kabbalists in general for Eitzes and Halacha. If you are taken by a friend or a family member to go see a Mekubal, and the Mekubal asks you for money, turn around and walk out of the room. This is not a place that you need to be. I'm no expert in Kabbalah, but there's somebody who is, and that is Rav Yaakov Hillel. Rav Yaakov Hillel is one of the great Mekubalim alive in Eretz Yisrael, and he's accepted and respected by all of the Gedolei HaPoskim around the world. And he has a very important book. If you want to know more about these things, about Kabbalists and searching out Kabbalists and things like that, you should read the translation of his book, Faith and Folly. It is a must. And he's very, very stark. He's very, very firm in how he deals with these issues. And he says there are people who come to communities, they read mezuzahs, they read palms, ksuvas, and they're not rabbanim, and they shouldn't be used to replace rabbanim. And he says too many people who should know better, including Torah figures, flock to these people who very often are charlatans and faking people. And this is the case that even these individuals seem to have knowledge. They say thing about you. They knew this about your past. How could they know this? So people have abilities. We've seen enough people who know how to read people, know how to discern people. But it doesn't mean that they are an Adam Gadol and a person you should confide in and give of your time and money. And therefore, I want to stress the importance of a community Rav and not turning to Mekubalim who hang out their shingles and you go to see who they are. They tell you fantastical things about yourself. That's not a person that we should be turning to. Tavim tiyam Hashem al-kacha. We need to have amun in Hashem and not turn to things that seem too fantastical. Because too often, unfortunately, there are people who have been burned and hurt in these areas. Yaakov Hillel likes to say that when you go to see a Mekubal the first time, you should ask him to give a shir in halacha. Make sure he can give a shir in halacha first. He can read over a piece of Gemara, give a high-level shir. Make sure he's a Talmud Chacham first, and then get into all the hocus-pocus and the other things as well. But the first thing should be a Talmud Chacham that you can respect. If the rabbi ever laughs at your question in a condescending way, he doesn't respect your question, he treats it as silly, or he thinks that your questions are silly, also, perhaps, not the best address to turn to. You should feel respected, you should feel loved, and accepted no matter who you turn to. So I want to end with one more piece in that article that I quoted from Mordechai Schmutter. He ends as follows. He says, you should be prepared if for some reason your Rav retires one day or moves on to a better place, such as Eretz Yisrael. Ask him who to go to in such an eventuality. He's being funny, he's saying, if you're not going to be my rabbi anymore, so who should the person I turn to next when you're no longer here? And he says, yes, this is an awkward conversation to have with your Rav. But if you're not willing to have awkward conversations, maybe he's not really your Rav. And that's an important message. If you can't feel comfortable asking anything
to the rabbi of your community, the rabbi in your shul that you choose to daven in, then maybe he's not your rabbi. It should be someone. There's no such thing, as we say, as a bad question. Any question should be accepted. Every question should be, feel good about yourself after asking a question. You shouldn't feel awkward when asking it. Just to bring it all together, I set a high bar over here for what a community rabbi should be. And not every rabbi is going to be perfect. But these are just some of the highlights, some of the points to keep in mind when you're thinking about shuls, you're thinking about places to daven, you're thinking about people to ask shilas to, as life becomes not less complicated, but more complicated, and more complicated things come up, just things to keep in the back of your mind, things to keep there to make sure that you're going to put yourself in the best decision for yourself and your family going forward.